So we're on Daf Kuf Nun Beis today, right? Shabbos 152a. Everybody with me? So so we're talking about dead bodies on Shabbos, you know, a corpse, how to, you know, the Dinim HaMuktzeh and things like that. And the Gemara had these psukim in Kohelet, last parak in Kohelet. It's Kohelet Parak Yud Beis. So the Gemara had these psukim and says, like, you should remember Hashem when you're young. And then, you know, before all these things pass, and the Gemara darshans each phrase, which seems like it's talking about, you know, mundane matters as referring to like the body going and things like that. So we're going to continue on with this. So on the second line, on Kuftan Beis Amud Aleph, 152a, the second line, Bayom Shiyazu Shomrei Abayit V'Tavtu, he says, he says the day when the guards of the house will tremble, and he says, and the V'Tavtu Anshei Achayil, the strong men will bend over. Bayom Shiyazu Shomrei Abayit, the day that the guardians of the house will tremble, Elu Akselim V'Hatzlaot. It's referring to a person's flanks and ribs, and it means that they're not in such good shape anymore. V'Hitavtu Anshei Achayil, and the valorous men, what does he say here? The powerful men will stoop. He says Elu Shokayim, that's like the legs. In other words, like, person's not in such great shape. That's what he's saying. In other words, the ribs guard the person. That's why the ribs are called like the shomer. So the ribs aren't in such good shape anymore. The legs aren't in such good shape anymore. And he says, "Ubitlua tochanod," and the grinders stop grinding. So elu shinayim, that's the teeth. In other words, the teeth is so. In other words, like it's sad. It's like describing the person, you know, becoming a mess. He says the chashchu haruot barubot, and the lights darkened in the windows, Eloinayim, the first is to a person's vision isn't so good. In other words, the Kohelet, who Shlomo Melech, is saying, Yishzachor borecha b'mei b'churotecha. Remember Hashem, when you're young, you know, before A, B, and C happen, and the Pshuto Shemikra is, you know, talking about the guardians of the house and people grinding and things like that. But the Gemara's Darshan relates to, like, the physical person. So Amalei Keso Rabbi Shubin Chananya. So the Keso, the Caesar said to Rabbi Shubin Chananya. And Shubin Chananya is the famous Rabbi Yeshua throughout Shas. And remember, he had a debate, remember, with the daughter of the Caesar. And she says, you know, how come you have such wisdom that's in an ugly vessel? And he says, you know, where does your father keep wine? The gold vessel, the silver vessel? he says, how come he doesn't keep it he keeps it in earthenware vessels? He says, a woman of your station, you should keep it in gold and silver vessels. And she does it, and the wine goes sour. And he went through Shubin Chananya. So, my tamaluati le Be'avidan. So the Caesar said to him, how come you don't come to Be'avidan? We had Be'avidan early in the Masechta. Remember, it was a place of disputations. It might have been for early Christians. And it doesn't sound like the place that he would have been too eager to go to begin with. He says, but the Caesar's saying, how come you didn't come to Be'avidan? So he says, Amalei, Tur Tlag, there's snow on the mountain, which Rashi says means my hair is white. In other words, his head is like the mountain. He says, Sacharoni Glidin, around the mountain is ice. So there he says that it means that his mustache, his beard is white as well. Kalboi lo nabchin, the dogs don't bark anymore. So Rashi says in the fifth narrow line, Koli eno nishman, it was like my voice isn't so strong. He says, Tachanoi lo tochanin, the grinders don't grind, like my teeth aren't so good. So I don't know if this is really the case, but he was trying to like bow out of it. But the way he bowed out, it was saying like, I'm old, I'm too old to go to that that disputation. Bei Rav Amri, they said in the Beis Medrash of Rav that when they had, in addition to what that, you know, what Rabbi Shubin Chananya said, Ad lo avina b'chishna, that which I didn't lose, I'm looking for. I mean, I'm like stooped over, I'm looking for something, even though I'm not looking for something. Or another pshat is like, I don't remember things quite so well. In other words, like I'm holding something in my hand, I'm searching for it, so I'm not up to muster for that place. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right, Malka, will you be at the CM next Monday night? Malka?
There's a good chance. Where is it? What is it?
In the parking lot of the shul at 6:40.
What time?
6:40 p.m. to 7:40 p.m.
I think so. What right. What right. date is that?
Monday.
Oh, it's the 10th.
Monday the 10th, yeah. And Livia, do you think you're coming or not? I can't hear you. I can't hear a word. You got to unmute yourself, Livia.
Is it instead of the shul?
It's no, I'll be giving the shear as well.
Okay, so I'll ask Eliezer.
All right. You get back to me. Okay, let's keep moving. All right. Now, we're the 10th line on Kuftan Beis Amid Aleph. So the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Yossi Bar Kisma Omer, Tabat Trei Mitlat, that two are better than three. Vaila Lachadata Azlav Loakti. What are the one that went left and didn't go? So two better than three, the way they take it is like when a person is vigorous, an adult, he walks two legs, he's in good shape. When he gets older, he's got a cane. It's like three. Does this remind you of anything from college, Vern? Does this remind anybody of anything? So in Oedipus Rex by Sophocles, remember the riddle of the Sphinx? So the Sphinx says to Oedipus, you know, what walks with four in the morning, two in the afternoon, and three at night? And if you don't get the answer right, the Sphinx kills you. You got it right. The Sphinx kills itself, and then Oedipus got it right. He says, in the morning, a person walks on all fours, and then later in life, he walks on two, and then when he's older, he walks like with a cane. It's like three. Right, anyway, so but that's what the Gemara has here. Okay, Vaila Lachada to Azla, Veloakti. What are the one that left and doesn't come back? So the Gemara says, Mayhi, what is that? Amar of Chista, Yankuta, youth. In other words, youth goes and doesn't come back. All right. Ki Atu Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, Yankuta Klila Devarda, he said, youth is like a crown of roses. Sivuta Klila Dechilfa, he says that old age is a crown of like thistles, thorns. Doesn't sound so good. He says, Tanam Shmeiz Rabbi Meir, Atana taught a Bryson, Imre Meir, Dok Bekache, chew well, kache your teeth. Chew well with your teeth. He says, v'tishkach benigrein, you'll find vigorous when you're walking. In other words, you eat well, I guess you're properly nourished, you'll be able to walk well. Shinemar v'nispal lechem aniyah tovim. He says, we satiated bread and we were good. V'ra lo ra'inu, we didn't see evil. Okay, Amar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, we know that, again, I've said many times before, Rav Yehuda studied, he studied with Rav, and then when Rav died, he went to study with Shmuel. So Amar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shinana, sharp one, that's what he called him. Shari Sakeh, loosen up your bag. It means like open your mouth, Ayalachmach, and bring bread in. It was like, I guess, eat properly. He says, Adar Arbim Shnin, Mechla Male, up to 40 years, the first 40 years of a person's life. So food helps the person. He says, Mikanva Elach Mishti Male. After that, drinking is better for him. All right. Any questions on one thing we did so far? All right, let me keep moving. Amar Lehu Goza to Rabbi Shuben Korcha. A certain Goza is a eunuch, said to Rabbi Shuben Korcha. And they usually say Rabbi Shuben Korcha is like the son of Rabbi Akiva, is the way they usually say it. He says, Mehacha leKarchina kama havi. How far is it from here to Karchina? So it's not clear whether Karchina is an actual place or an imaginary place, but it sounds a lot like Kereach, like Boulder. So he's saying, how far is it to, like Rabbi Shua Ben Korcha was apparently bald. So he's saying, how far is it here to Baldsville? like that's what he's saying. He said, Amar Leh, Kimihacha Le Goznaya. He says, like, from here till Unixville. Because the guy was eunuch speaking to him, so he's giving him what he's getting. So Amar Leh, Stuki. So the Stuki means, like, this Goza was a Stuki. His Baruch HaKarcha Ba'arba. Like a young goat is of course four zuzim, but it's called karcha. In other words, the goat doesn't have a lot of fleece like the lamb has, so it's called a goat is called karcha. So he's like allusion to like to Rabbi Shuben Karcha. He says Amar Leh Ikar Shlifa Bitmani. He says that Ikar Shlifa. One second. He says the castrated, emasculated member of the flock sells for eight. So. Actually, some have the girsa that this is all said by the Stuki, that he said that, like, in other words, he's saying, like, a bald, like the bald animal, which is the goat, sells for four zuzim, but the emasculated lamb sells for eight. So, in other words, I sell for more than you, that type of thing. But the way we have it, it's the response of Shimon Karko. He's saying, yeah, like, just another statement about, like, the emasculated one. So, Ikara Shlifa.
He's saying it's selling for eight.
Yeah, it's selling
that's
for eight.
I'm really getting you.
It's selling for eight, but it's saying like, you know, like the Ikar Shlifa, like, you know, like the emasculated one sells for eight, but it's like highlighting to him his status. It's the best I could say with it. It might work better with the other gear. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chazi Dosi Misane. So he observed that Stuki, this Goza, observing Shuman Karka, wasn't wearing shoes. So the Marashah wants to say, and they quoted this in the art scroll, that it might have been Tishbav or Yom Kippur. Otherwise, why would he not be wearing shoes? So he says, Amalei da'al sus melech, a person who rides a horse is like a king. He says, da'al chamor ben chorin, a person who rides a donkey, he's like a free man. He says, udeminale beriglowi bar inish, if a person walks with shoes, he's a mensch. He says, d'loha v'loha, but if a person's got neither one, he doesn't have a horse, doesn't have donkey, doesn't have shoes, he says, d'chafir v'kavir tavminei. So the one who's like dead and buried is better than him. So he's like giving him a shtuck. So Amalei, Goza, Goza. So he says, Goza, Goza, eunuch, eunuch. Doesn't sound like this is going too well, this conversation. Goza, Goza, Tlat Amritli, you said to me three things. I assume the three things are that the king rides the horse, the regular person rides the donkey, and the person with shoes is a mensch. He says, Tlat Shamat, I heard three things. Tlat Shamat, listen to me for three things I'm going to tell you. Hadr Panim Zakan, like the glory of a person is a beard. He says, Simchat Leiv Isha, the happiness of a person is a wife. Nachalat Hashem Banim, Nachal of Hashem is children. Baruch HaMakom Shemenachal Mikulam. Baruch Hashem, you've been kept away from all three. You don't have any one of them. He doesn't have a beard because he's castrated, doesn't have a wife, and he doesn't have kids. So Amar Leim, so he says, Karcha Mitzuyana, like contentious, bald person, or quarrelsome, bald person. So he says, like, you're a quarrelsome, bald person. Amarlay, so he said back to him, Ikar Shlifa, you like this emasculated lamb. He says, either Tochicha or Tochicha, like, are you giving me rebuke? Or the other way to learn, he says, I'm not being contentious. I'm just giving you rebuke for your insulting behavior. In other words, the first way is that he has that, are you offering a provocation to me? Tochicha, are you trying to start up with me? Or Tochicha, I'm giving you a proper rebuke for the way you behave. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Yeah, what's up, Livia? You got to unmute yourself, Livia. I can't hear a word.
I would like to know if this eunuch was voluntarily eunuch or it was resulting from an accident.
Don't know. Don't know the answer to that question. All right. Now, let me see what else I have here. 1 minute. There's something I'm looking for. I had an email today, which I printed out, and I wanted to say it over to you. I don't know why I can't find this email. One second. Give me 1 second. Let me see. I thought I put it here. All right. I'll tell you in a minute. All right. Anyway, I always find these things after the daf. All right, we're I don't know, always, but I have a feeling I will find it after the daf. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, we're two lines above where it gets wide. Amalei Rabbi Rabbi Shimon Chalafta, Mimimimal Luhikpal Nupanecha Beregel. He says, why did I have a chance to greet you during the regel? Which really means, why didn't you come to greet me during the regel? And Tamidim greet, the Rebbe during the regel. Chayavidam Lapil Pene Rabo Beregel. In addition to which, he says, Kedere Shepilu Avotai Labotecha. Like the way he says, like, my forebears greeted your forebears, but he really means, your forebears greeted my forebears. In other words, this is the way we always, you have and you present yourself before me on the regel. Samalay, Salim Nasu Gavoim, the rocks became too big for me. In other words, he got older. This is talking about people becoming older, things getting difficult. Krovim Nasu Rechokim, that which was close became distant. He says, Mishtaim Nasu Shalosh, that when I was walking on two legs, now I have three with a cane. Mesim Shalom Babayit Batel, that which gives peace in the house became Batel. It means like the male member, like he was able to satisfy his wife, and now he's not in a position to do that. So if he leaves the wife, so she'll be unhappy and he can't like give her, the gratification she would like. And so that's why I didn't come anymore. In other words, it's too hard for me to walk there and I'm not in such great shape. And when I leave my wife, I'm not able to kind of, pacify her. All right, let me further. Now, okay, so back in the Gemara, the second wide line. So going back to the psukim again from Kohelet. Again, these psukim are in Perek Yud Beis. So we learn Kohelet on Sukkot. So now it's the 15th day of Av. So 2 months from now. So 9 weeks from now, you'll hear Kohelet. So maybe when you get to the last Perek in Kohelet, I can't remember this. These psukim sound familiar. Can't quite place it. Anyway, so here now, he says, "V'sugrudla time b'shuk v'gomer," that the doors will be closed in the marketplace. Ilu nekav of shel adam, he says, it refers to persons' orifices, so they'll be stopped up. He says Bishval Kol Hatachana. He says that the when the sound of the grinding is low, Bishvil Korkavan Shinotochein. It means like the stomach doesn't grind so well. Viakum Lakol Hatzipur. Viakum Lakol Hatzipur. He says when one rises at the voice of a bird, Shafil Tzipur Minarutomishtom. Means you get older, even light things wake you up. Even the bird wakes you up. You hear the bird chirping. We wake up at that. He's going back and forth. The pasuk to Hesber. V'yishakhu kol benot hashir. He says, and all the voices of song grow dim. Shafilu kol. On the side, he corrects it. Kol shomrim v'sharot. Like the male singers, the female singers. Dumot olav kishucha seem like a whisper. In other words, his hearing declines. But after, so that the idea is like the person, you know, becomes physically challenged when he gets older in every way. He says, but Af Barzilai Giladi Amar LeDavid. Now Barzilai Giladi, remember David HaMelech was chased out by Avshalom, and he's on the lamb, not on the lamb, he's running away from Avshalom. And Barzilai Giladi fed him and did chesed with him. And then when David returns victorious, he says to Barzilai Giladi, Barzilai Giladi was on the east bank of the Yarden. He says, why don't you come join me in Yerushalayim? It'll be good for you. So Barzilai Giladi says, I don't think it's going to work out too well. He says, Af Barzilai Giladi Amar LeDavid, Ben Shmonim Shana Anochi Yom. I'm 80 years old already, he says. Do I know the difference between good and bad? He says, Mikan Shadeotan Shal Zakanim Mishtanot. He says that we see, he says that the senses of the elderly undergo change in advanced old age. He says, like the rational faculty, the ability of distinguishing good and bad, sensible and foolish, deteriorates. And that's what he was referring to. He says, then back in the Pasuk, he says, can your servant, can I taste what I eat and what I drink? In other words, I can't taste it. Mikan she siftotein shel zkenim mitraptot, that the lips of older people are mitraptot. So he says split, or the other pshat is the lower lip hangs down loosely. He says it can't close the mouth properly. Then back in the pasuk, imishma od b'kol shirim v'sharod. If I could hear like the singers anymore, mikan shazem shoskeinim et kabdo. The people don't hear so well when they're older. So amarav barzilai giladi shakar rahava. So Rav says barzilai giladi was a liar. He says dahi amta dahavi be Rebbe. There was this maid servant in the house of Rebbe, batishim v'tartin shnin. She was 92 years old. Babatama Kidra, she would taste like the Kedera, the pot of food, and be able to sense where everything was, was cooked properly. So she says if anything is needed to enhance the flavor. So we see that sometimes you could be 92, and so she's not older than Barzilai Giladi, who was 80. That's a nice little answer at the end there. Now let's take a look. One second. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Barzilai Giladi Shatup Bezima Hava. Rava says that Barzilai Giladi had another aggravating factor in terms of his aging that he was involved in, doesn't sound at all good. He was overindulgent in Zima, which is illicit sex. He says, V'kol Shatup Bezima Zikna Kofetzet Alav. If a person like overindulges in sex, like old age overtakes him, he becomes a mess at the end. I'm saying that Michael's not here to talk about this. I don't have any doctors here tonight, but I will say that the Mechaber in the end of Chedek Beis and Mishnah Brura, I think it's Siman Reish Mem, he talks about like the Dinim with Tashmish Shemitah and things like that. He says like when a person overindulges in sex, he's like he physically becomes a mess. That's what I remember. So it's Tani Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tamid HaChachamim, Kozman Shemazkin HaChachman Yitosefet Behem. Tamid HaChachamim, here's some positive things. When they get older, they get greater wisdom. The Tamid HaChachamim, they flower when they get older. He says, Shenemar Bishim HaChachma, with the old people, Chachma. That's something about Tamid HaChachamim. Ve'orech Yamim Tevun, and long days they have great wisdom. Ve'amei Ha'aretz, but the Amei Ha'aretz, the people who don't have learning, Kozman Shemazkinim Tipshut Yitosefet Behem. Foolishness increases with them. Shenemar Meisir Safalin Amanim. He removes like the lip for those. Let's see how he translates this here. He says, one second. He says he distorts the utterances of the trustworthy. Betams Kinim Yikach. And he takes away from the elders. All right. So the point is that we have two phrases in Eov, one positive, one negative for older. So the positive is for the Talmid Chachamim, the negative for the Amei Haaretz. Okay, now we're going to go back to the Psukim, back to Kohelet again, which has been our theme. We've been talking about those Psukim from Kohelet. He says, Gami Gavoa Yeru, he says that they fear, even from heights, Shafilu Gav Shushi Ketana Domalav Kahare Harim, that even like a small mound seems like the biggest, like Mount Everest. He says, V'chachatim Baderech, and there's fearsomeness, things, fearful things on the way, on the way. B'shash Malach Baderech Na'asu Lo Tovahim, like he's filled with anxiety when he's walking. He says, V'yaneis HaShaked, and V'yaneis HaShaked is the almond tree blossoms. He says, Zu Kliboset, it means like his hip or whatever, the ribs. In other words, things are sticking out of the body. He's not in so good shape. He's, I guess, emaciated. He says, V'yistabel HaChagav, and the Pshuto Shemikra is the grasshopper becomes a burden. V'yistabel HaChagav, he says, Elu Agavot, refers to buttons, buttocks. In other words, that like even that seems like a weight. The Tafer HaViona, which means the Aviona fails. He says, Zuchemda, it's like your less sexual desire. Okay, Rav Kahana Ava Pasik Sidra, Kamid Rav. Rav Kahana was reciting a section of the Pesukim before Rav. Kimat Lahai Kra, Nagiv Inach. When he came to the Pasuk we just read, he like gave a groan, gave a crex. So he says, Amar Shmomina Batilei Chemde Rav. So Rav Kahana said that I see from here that Rav, like his sexual appetite is like kind of gone down because he gave a groan. Amarav Kahana, my detiv ki hu amar vayehi. What does it mean that he said and it came to being? Zu Isha is referring to the woman. Hutziva vayamod, he commanded vayamod. How does he translate vayamod? He says he commanded it took form, elubanim. Tana to Braisa, Isha Chemet Malait Soa. A woman is like a container filled with soa. I'll explain in a minute. It means excretions. He says, Upia Maleidam, her opening is filled with blood. He wants to say that, like, in the normal order of things, it would not be so attractive to a person that you have this, you know, being with all the blood coming out and everything else, but everybody is attracted to a woman. And that's the way Hashem made the Bria. He says, every person, oh, let me pause for a minute. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. All right, now.
Eric?
Yeah.
This is a naive question, but is there any attempt made at some point to pull a thread to the Masechta itself, Shabbos, when in this whole discussion?
Wait, repeat, to pull what? Say again?
Is there any attempt in this part of the Masechta that we're looking at
right
to pull a thread to the actual...
I'm not aware of it. You could look in Mefarshim. I'm not aware of anything like that.
But is the idea of a Masechta called Shabbos to in some way pull together things that are disparate and different, but pulled together at some point that pertain to Shabbos in some way?
I don't know. This is like a drush. But the plain meaning of the Gemara is not that way. Maybe you can come up with some drush. All right, let me go further to the Gemara. Now, six lines from the bottom. A person goes to his world. That everybody gets like a compartment, a place like an Olam Haba based on his status. He says, in other words, doesn't say, what does Rashi have on this? He says, where is it? It doesn't say El Beit HaOlam, you go to Beit Olamo. He says to his eternal home. He says, everybody gets his own Madur. It's like a king and his retinue, they enter the city. When they enter, they all enter the same gate. Shane Lanin, when they come to lodge, when they come to take lodging, everybody gets a different compartment. The king gets, you know, one sort of room and one sort of hotel, and then the lowly worker gets something else. But Amar, so the same thing here, like everybody's created, but then based on your masim in this world, you get a different madur, you know, in Olam Haba. But Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my detiv ki yalda b'shachrut havel, that youth and is like vanity. The rim should some yalda tom ashkirim panav liyizik nato. So he says, Rashi takes it like if a person indulges too much in sex. So he says, it's mashkirim panav, it makes his face black. In other words, it means it weakens him when he's older. It's kind of, you see it here in the Gemara. But Amar Yitzchak Kasher Rima Lemeid Kemachad Basar Achai, that worms in a dead body are like a machad, like a needle in the Basar Achai. So there's much to speak about that. Does it mean that you'll contemplate it when you're alive? It's going to be that way, or how this works? So he says here, Shenemar Ach Besaro Alav Yichav, that his flesh will cause him pain. It's like a dead person. Amar Rav Chista Nafshosh Adam Itabel Alav Kol Sheva, that a person's own nefesh, his own soul, mourns for himself during the Shiva. He says Shenemar Benafsho Alav Tebal. It says his nefesh will mourn for him. It was he'll mourn for himself when he's dead. He says Uktiv Vayas Laviv Eivel Shivat Yamim. It says that they made for Yaakov in Ava for 7 days. So that's like a, like you see, the Shiva is really a Din D'Rabbanan, but you see like a remez for Shiva in the Torah, and that the person mourns, like the soul mourns for himself for 7 days. Amar Rav Yudam, mate Shein Lo Menachem Im Holchinas Rabbi Nadav Yoshev Mekomo. If you've made, Menachem means comforters, but it means if you don't have any availim, the person died and he has no family to sit Shiva for him. So 10 people should go and sit in the place where he died. And they sit in his place. Somebody who died in the neighborhood of Rav Yehuda, and he was the Baal Memra, and they didn't have Menachemim. Turn page, Kufcha Bezim and Alma Bez on top line. Every day Rav Yehuda took 10 people, and they sat there. After 7 days of this, he, the Niftar, appeared in the dream to Rav Yehuda of Amarle and said to him, you should be comforted, or you know, relax, because you comforted me by doing this whole thing. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find this letter. I want to 1 minute. Let me say a couple of things. First of all, you know, years ago I read this book by Rav Meir Lau, who used to be the chief rabbi, I think, in Eretz Yisrael. It was Al Tishlach Edcha El Anar. So in it, I don't remember who he was talking about, but he said that one of his rebbeim died when he was in yeshiva, and another one of the rabbis there, and this rabbi who died didn't have any availim, and another one of the rabbis said, at the Levaya, he says, we all have to go now and sit Shiva for him in the house. And all the B'nai Yeshiva went, and they sat the whole week. They kept Shiva in that house for that person. Let me do a little bit on the Al Hadaf on this. I tell you, there's a couple of different things with this I want to raise, and then we have to keep moving. Daf Yomi, you only really get a chance to cite the issues, and then if the issues interest you, you look and you do more work later. So there are seven krovim, right? The parents, children, siblings, spouse of the deceased. This is again from the Aladaf. So we did the halach in the Gemara. So the Shilta Giborim deduces from this Gemara, it is preferable for them to sit in mourning at the place where their relative soul expired. In other words, ideally speaking, when you sit Shiva, see, it's a little different. Today, a lot of people die in the hospital, but in the old days, people would die in their home. I mean, typically, they get sick and then they die in the house. So, but ideally speaking, you should sit Shiva in the place where the person died. Apparently, the deceased soul lingers.
Died or where he lived?
Well, here he says where he died. He says, apparently, the deceased soul lingers in the place of his death and is comforted with words of comfort spoken to the mourners. Let's see the Gemara again. What did the Gemara say? It said, but Makomo, let me see what Rashi says on this. Let's see back again. So he says, B'makoma, look at the last Rashi on left-hand column, B'makom Shemecham. You see Yosef? The last Rashi on Kuf Nun Beis Amud Aleph.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Last Rashi, B'makom Shemecham, yes.
Right. So there, from that, it sounds like the place where he actually died,
yeah. Unless they used to die in their own homes back
then. Well, that's the way it would usually work out. But Rashi doesn't say the place that he lived. He says the place that he died. So the Ikar is the death. That's what it sounds like. He also suggests that Rav Yehuda specifically brought 10 men to the deceased house because he wanted to arrange for a minion to pray there. Praying with a minion at the deceased home is a comfort to the soul because the Shekhinah is present when a quorum of 10 men pray together. The Rambam, in codifying this Gemara, writes as follows. If the deceased has no mourners, 10 honorable men sit in his place of death throughout this, in his place, the Rambam says, and then he adds in brackets of death, throughout the 7 days of mourning, and the rest of the people gather there to offer words of comfort. And the event that we cannot gather 10 such volunteers, 10 ordinary people should gather each day and sit in the house. So if you can get, like, who bought him to sit, that's better. Otherwise, we'll take whoever we can get. The Lecha Mishnah explains that the Rambam understands Rav Yehuda saying that it's preferable to have 10 people volunteer, sit in the deceased's house for 7 days and mourn the death as though they were actually avelim, and have others come and offer them words of comfort. So from the Rambam, so the Rambam sounds like they're going to actually like comport themselves like avelim. He says, these words of comfort are evidently comforting to the soul, as pointed out above by the Shulchan Giborim. So when people are menachem, like there's a tshuva from Ramosha, I don't know if I have time to go into it now, but they quote it in the Daf Digest. When you're menachem and avel, you're not just giving nechama to the mourner, but it gives nechama also to the soul of the deceased. And some want to say, like we say, hamakom yenachem etchem. So etchem, in other words, let's say there's only one mourner. So do I say Amakom Yenachem Orcha, or do I say Amakom Yenachem Etchem? So some people have, they have some signs that make a distinction. I've heard, Reb Lau mentioned this to me, you know, like goes like whether it's singular or plural, but there's as far to say that it's always Etchem, because the Niftar is also getting the Chama from the fact that you're giving the Chama to the mourner. Anyway, so he says here, if this is not possible, then we should at least have different groups of 10 people gathering in the deceased's house each day. The Radbaz explains that we should arrange for 10 people to sit in the deceased's home, at least in the morning and evening when people are not working and are able to come and offer words of comfort. The Ravid remarks that the ruling of the Rambam has no basis, ain't no shorish. So the Ravid says, I don't know where the Rambam gets this halacha from. So the Migdal Oz points out the Rambam's ruling is based on our Gemara. So why does the Ravid say it has no basis? The Lecha Mishnah explains the Ravid agrees the idea that 10 people should go to the house of the deceased for 7 days, as stated in the Gemara. The Ravid rejects the idea the volunteers must act as avelim and sit in mourning for 7 full days. In other words, the Rambam is saying, not just go there, but you have to comport yourself like you're the mourner, and how people will be menachem you. So that's what the Ravid is saying. I don't know where that has a basis for it. He says the Ravid rejects the idea the volunteers act as avelim and sit in mourning for 7 full days. Rather sufficient, even lechachila in the first place, to do as Rav Yehuda did and have a group of 10 people sit at the deceased home for a short period of time. The Ramah writes that he has never seen a group of people sitting Shiva at the home of one who died without relatives, as the Rambam seems to suggest. However, he says it is worthwhile practice to gather a minion of 10 men to daven there, because that provides a nachat ruach to the soul of the deceased. All right. Now, any questions on that? Any comments? All right, let me move on. Now, there was something else that came up yesterday. Remember yesterday I talked about closing the eyelids of a deceased person. We said that the maid is muksa, and how can you close the eyelids? So Rabbi Yonah Reese used to be the menahel of Yeshiva Rinskel Chanan, and now he's head of the Chicago Beis Din. And he once spoke about that. I'd asked him about this once, and he once spoke about it. So I emailed him, and here's the email that I was looking for. It came back. He says,
What did you say to him?
I said... that the Chevra Kadisha closes the eyelids, the Gemara learns you can't do it, and didn't you say something about, you know, that there was a minhag in Krakow to do it, or whatever. So here's what he says. He didn't say about Krakow, but he says, it is a known custom that some do close the eyelids on Shabbos, even though it's clearly against the Mishnah. He quotes the Mishnah Berurah, who cites the Zohar as the source of his practice, based on an undefined sakana. I don't know what the sakana is. That means like a danger. So apparently sakana if the eyes aren't closed. He says, the Nishmat Avram, that's that fellow that wrote the books on health or whatever. What's his name again? Do you know who remembers the name? All right. Anyway, so he says, the Nishmat Avram says... we shouldn't protest without further elaboration. He does recommend that anybody who follows this practice should use an intervening substance so it not constitute more than a tiltul menatzah. This is what you were saying, Livia. So if you're going to do it, he's saying don't take your fingers and put it on the eyelids. It sounds like take something else. So maybe you said the sheet, Livia. So I don't know, maybe that would count as tiltul menatzah, but in other words, you're moving the eyelids with something else. So let me move on now. All right. Let's see.
Well, on a regular day, you should close the eye.
Absolutely, absolutely. I tell you, nobody should know from this. Nobody should ever have to know from this whole thing. I got to tell you, it's a very, very difficult thing when somebody dies on Shabbos in the house. because you're there in the house with the dead body, and I can't tell you what it's like to have to be live in a house with a dead body. I know somebody who, this is the way it was, and the Chevra Kedisha doesn't take the body after Shabbos, and the person died on a Friday night, and they were there with the body. It's like creepy, you know? How do you sleep? How do you eat? You know, the whole thing, it feels so, you know, and then there's a din and shmira, the body has to be, guarded and the whole, it's anyway, now let's see back in the Gemara. Talk about trauma going through the death of somebody and the body's there. That's very, to my way of thinking, very difficult. All right, let's see back in the Gemara.
It's very hard. We did that with my father.
Oh, so you had the case. Yeah. All right, let's take a look on line 4. Anything that's said in the presence of the deceased, the deceased is aware of it. Ad shisatema golel. Yishtema golel is a term of art. There's makluk rishonim what it means. Rashi takes it till the lid is put on the coffin. Tosu says till the matzeb is put up. But I think there's another pshat that the way I recall is like they would dig these niches in like these caves. And the Yishtema Golel, the stone where you close the niche, that was Yishtema Golel. So I know there's a Taz. The Taz says in Shulchan Aruch that the Niftar, in terms of Hespedim, he says the Niftar is able to like hear him like in a dream. In other words, like so the Niftar is aware of the Hesped. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says it's really Machloket. Pliba Reb Chia Reb Shimon Berebi. One says that he hears everything in Yishtema Golel till the Golel is closed. How does he translate Golel? He says the kisk is closed. They're taking Rashi's shot. Until the flesh is decomposes. The Pasuk says like his flesh will be in pain and his soul will mourn for it. So the implication being that the person has an awareness till the body decomposes. That the body will return back to the dirt. So when it's returned back to the dirt, so Yishtema Golel with Tosos with the Matseva didn't work quite the same way, but with the lid of the coffin. I like the pshat, I don't remember who said that. The lip shot that where you're taking the stone and like closing it, like that's Yishtema Golel. I gotta look. They might have. I need to look again on Yishtema Golel. Okay, now let's keep going. So we're back to our psukim again in Kohelet. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan, Baruch Teshuv El Elokim Asher Natana, the soul will go back to God that gave it to him. He says, Tanelo Kmosh Natana Lecha B'Tara. He knows you should return your soul to Hashem like he gave it to you in a state of Tara. That's the way you should return it to him. He says, Apata B'Tara. It's like a mortal king who gave royal clothes to his servants. He says, the wise ones folded it up carefully and put it in a box. He says, the foolish ones went and did work with it. They used it like work clothes. He says, so after a period of time, the king asked, well, let me have the clothes back. He says, so the wise people gave it back. It was in perfect condition. It was like pressed. He says, the foolish people gave it back. It was all for schmutz. The king, meaning like a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Michael, we're 6 lines above where it gets wide on Kuf Nun Beis Amid Beis. The king was happy for the smart people, the Kaslikra Tipshin. A Pichin Amar, Yinanu Kilai Lo Otsar. So the Pichin, he says, let my kalim, my clothes be put in the storehouse. Behemiel Chulabatim L'Shalom. Let them go to their homes in peace. They're good. Yal Tipshim Amar, Kilai Yinanu Lekoves. Vehinid Chapshu V'Asurim. Let my garments be given to the laundry. They should be confined in confinement, in prison. So he says, Avakadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, the point is that the people who are Pikeach, they give back their soul the way they got it. So they're getting a sachar. The other people who didn't do it. So he says lekoves is a term for purgatory, like Gehenna. They got to go to the Gehenna. He says Afakadosh Baruch Hu al gufan shel tzaddikim omer yavo shalom yanuhu al mishkavotam. Concerning the bodies of the tzaddikim, he says let them be in peace, let them rest on their resting place. He says on their couches. Concerning their souls, this pasuk is from Abigail. Remember, there's an incident in Chumash with Naval and David, and Abigail says to David, "What?"
It's an incident in Navi.
Wait, I couldn't hear you. Repeat again.
You said it's an incident in Chumash. It's an incident.
Right. So he says, "Vayitan nefesh adoni tzruah b'tzruah chayim," that the soul of my master, she's giving a bracha to David HaMelech, should be wrapped b'tzruah chayim with the bundle of life. It means like eternal life. So he says, and so that's for the tzaddikim. Al gufan shorashayim u'meir, ein shalom amar Hashem l'rashayim. There's no peace for them. V'yalash patan u'meir, v'nefesh oivecha yikalena b'toch kaf hakela. This is the end of the pasuk with Abigail. He says, the soul of your enemies, you have like a slingshot, and I don't know what to call it. Like, you know, the slingshot, like it comes around the place where you put the rock. That's the place that, you know, that the soul of your enemy should be. That means like confined in a place that we'll see a little bit of a different shot in a couple of lines. You know, in the morning, every morning we make the bracha, Elokai Neshama. He says, what do we say? Vata tila meni lachzira bila tilavo. In the future, you're going to take it from me. You're right. The Shabbat should be Tahora. He right. It's Tahora. So the way I think of it is like I remember once I rented a car many years ago to go to Vermont, and with a friend. And when I returned this rental car, it got me so nervous. I didn't get into any accidents with the car. But I bring it back to the rental place. The guy is like looking around, like every spot on the car, like if I scratched it or did. I'm thinking, what happened? You know, I parked it. Maybe who knows what happened? And everything he's seeing, is it the way he gave it to me? And thank God it worked out well. It was okay with that. But that's the way a Kaddish Baruch Hu looks at our neshama. Like from our neshamas, he's able to see. He's like in other words, like let's say you bring back the rental car. Now it's all banged up. What did you do to the car? Like I gave you a beautiful car. Now it's like a mess. So you bring back the neshama to Kaddish Baruch Hu. This is what happened. Like here your Michal Shabbos, here your Mizana, here your Treifus. Everything you're doing, you're messing up the neshama. You're creating like mess. You know. So I see the neshama. Everything. I have a record of everything. So that's the way. So neshama you have to bring back to Hashem, just like he gave it to you, which is very difficult. All right. Any questions, comments, anything we have here? All right. Michael, did you complete the whole Masechta, Michael? You don't know? Is that no or you don't know? I can't hear a word you're saying, Michael.
I do not know. I couldn't sign that, David.
All right. So then this may turn on what Yosef
said. I'm sure David Jacob did.
Yeah, but Jacob, he doesn't want to show up near the humans. He's afraid with the COVID. And for his wife, is an obstetrician. So, all right, Yosef, I think this the events may turn on your situation. So let me know tomorrow, okay? All right. So he says, so the third line. All right. Now, okay, so the first very wide line, rather. Tanya Reb Lezer Omer, Nishmatan Tzadikim Gnuzo Tacha Kisei HaKavod, that the neshamas of Tzadikim are like buried or hidden under the Kisei HaKavod, the crown of Hashem's throne. That your soul should be bound up with life, but it means like it sounds like with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He says, "V'shal Rishayim zomod v'holcho," but the Rishayim they're confined and they go. And then he says, "Umalach chado may besof olam, umalach chado may besof olam, umikala nishmatan zelzel." Like with a slingshot, shooting one to another. I'll explain in a minute. Shinmar v'nefesh roivecha yikalena b'toch kaf hakela. So it's different pshatim. What says one pshat they quoted? This was in footnote 14. The quote from the Marashah, and this is what you would ask me about the other day about Ruth, about Gilgul. So here he translates Gilgul as transmigration of the soul. You know, normally we say like reincarnation. But anyway, he wants to say like if you were Rasha, so now you have to go through another Gilgul. So it means like you're shot off and now you have to go through another Gilgul. And if you're still messing, then you shot off and do another Gilgul. That's the way the Marashah understands the Gemara. All right. So, but again, these things are more based on Kabbalah and Zohar. It's just like a possible illusion here. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amarli Rabba Rav Nachman. So Rabba says, Rav Nachman, Shel Beinonimai. So the tzaddikim we got during the Kisei Kavod, the Rishayim, they're getting shot back and forth. What about the Beinonim, all the people in the middle? What's their situation? So Amarli, Ika Shachivna Lo Amri Lahu Hai. Now it should be like Ishachivna. Had I died, I wouldn't have said this to you. It's good. I'm sorry. Ika Shachivna Lo Amri Lahu Hai Milta. I wouldn't have said this to you. Hachem Arshmuel Elu Elu Ladumanim Sarin. That the Rishayim and the Beinonim are given over to Duma, who's a Malach. Halalu Yishla Manoach. Halalu Ein Lahem Manoach. And some have rest. So the people who the Beinonim are going to eventually come to a restful situation, he says, but the others don't have rest. In other words, there's constant punishment, it sounds like. Amar Ramari, Atinim Sadikim, so that's the way it goes. Let me just make sure what he says here.
They go to the same place.
So what he's saying here, yeah, well, he says they're flung from place to place, is what the article quotes it. He says, all right, so I mean, the idea is like the Beinonim Lachor, they get a certain amount of punishment and then they're through it. And the Rishayim, they got to do more with Rishayim. The way he has it here, the Gilgul through Gilgul. He says, Amar Mari, Atim Sadiqim Tabu Afar. In the future, even Sadiqim will turn to Afar. That the person will turn to dust like he was. So now the Gemara explains why we need Siddhis. Hanau Kafula Udo Kafli Barad Rav Nachman. There are these diggers digging on the property of Rav Nachman. Nachar b'hu Rav Achai bar Yoshia. So Rav Achai bar Yoshia was dead. He was dead and buried for a long time, and he apparently was buried near the place that they were digging, and then he starts snorting or something when they're digging. So Atu v'amrili Rav Nachman, Nachar ben Gavra. They said, so, you know, we were digging, and somebody started like snorting. So, it's snorting, right? That's what they say, right? Snort? Yeah, snorted. So Atu v'amrili Mani Humar, he says, who are you? Amarle, Ana Achai Bar Yoshi, I'm Achai Bar Yoshi, Amarle, Lav Amar Ramari Atide Tzadike Tabu Afra. Didn't Ramari say that Tzadikim were going to turn to Afar? And you're a Tzadik, but you're dead already, so how come you're not Afar? Amarle, Umani Mari, Lo Yadani, who's this Mari? I don't know. He says, Amarle, Vahakraktiv, Yashov Afar Al Ha'aris Shaya, but there's a Pasuk that people return to dust. Amarle, so he says to him, the Akriach Kohelet, the Akriach Mishlei, the one who taught you or recited Kohelet to you didn't teach you apparently Mishlei, the book of Proverbs. So you're quoting the pasuk from Kohelet via Shova Far La Aretz, but in Mishlei Dechtiv Rekev Atzmot Kina, that which causes the bones to decompose is jealousy. Kol Mishishlo Kina Belibo Atzav Markiv. If a person has jealousy, his bones like rot and decompose. Kol Sheinlo Kina Belibo Eino Atzav Markivin. So he says, I didn't have kinah, so that's not. So Gashashe, Chazidid Bei Mishasha, he felt him, he saw it's like the person that has substance to him. So Amarle, Le Kumar, Le Gavei Debeto, he invited him to his house, why don't you come to the house? Say, dearest, look who I invited for lunch today. Anyway, so he says here, he says, Amarle, Galitha Daitech, Tafilu Nevi'e Lo Karit, you've revealed that even the Nevi'im you're not familiar with, he says, Dechtiv, Vidatem Kineshim Fidchia Kivro Techem. You know that I'm Hashem when I open your kever. He says, meaning that the meitim have to stay in the kever. In other words, so they can't get up and go around wherever it is. That's in Yechezkel Lamed Zayin. That's in the Chazon HaBikka by Yechezkel. I think that's the Haftorah on Pesach that we lay in. I think it's Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. I believe that's the Haftorah. It says, Amar Leib, Haktiv Ki Afarata V'Yelafarata Shuv. But it says that you're dust and you go back to dust, and that's everybody. So earlier you quoted the pasuk. He says this people kina, but Hashem says to Adam, "Yafar tavi yafar tashuv." You and your progeny will go back to dust. So how could it be that you're not dust? Amar lei ha'husha achat kodem tchila meitim. 1 hour before tchisa meisim, tzaddikim go back and are returned to dust, and then they get resuscitated. Amar lei ha'hut stuki l'rabbi Abba. Amritu nishmatan sal tzaddikim gizotach kisei akavod. You say the neshamos of the tzaddikim are hidden underneath the kisei kavod, the throne of glory. Ovatamya hecha aski l'shmuel. So how ovatamya? The way that Rashi quotes from Rav Hai Gaon, that tamya here means the bones. Ovatamya is this woman who the balad ov. In other words, remember the balad ov is a necromancer, like a sorceress. You remember remember from Ein Dor and in Sefer Shmuel. That remember Shmuel is dead and Shaul HaMelech is all perturbed and he wants to ask a question to Shmuel and he tries to seek through the Nevi'im and other things and he has no answer. So he goes to Balad Ov and he asks her, and then the Balad Ov brings up Shmuel with the sorcery. So he says So over Tamya, Heicha asked the Shmuel Benagida, how did she bring up Shmuel with sorcery? In other words, if he's on the Kisei Kavod, he doesn't think it would be effective. So Amalei Hatam Tok Shneim Sar Chodesh Haba. That was within 12 months of his death. The Tani Kol Shneim Sar Chodesh Gufo Kiyam. If told, they'll be read it. For the first 12 months, the body is still intact and the soul goes up and down. Lachar Yibei Chodesh Guf Batel, the body is decomposed. When Shtoel B'Shuv, you know, you read it, and the Shama goes up and doesn't come back down anymore. Okay, let me just do one piece with you, and I think that will be it. One second. Today is Kufnun Beis. Oh, boy. All right. Now, he mentions here, I remember that shuv from Moshe that I mentioned before. it's in the Igros Moshe, Chelek Dalet Orach Chaim, Siman Mem, Ot Yud Aleph. So he was asked whether it's acceptable to do Nichumi Avelim by a telephone, not in person. Can I be Menachem Avel with a telephone as opposed to going in person? That was what Moshe was asked. So in his response, Moshe identifies two elements of the mitzvah. One is for the benefit of the mourners themselves, courage to support them. That's one aspect. The second part is on behalf of the deceased person. I'm bringing Nechama to the deceased person. So he says, he learns that it only brings nechama when the person is physically present. That's what he says. He takes it from our Gemara. You remember we said about the person who died without menachemim, without mourners. So 10 people go there. If you learn like the Rambam, then they have to have people console them there. So why do you? They're not mourning. Why are people consoling them? So it's to bring nechama to the deceased. So with this concept, okay, one minute. With this concept, Ramosh explains the position of the Rambam holds that if a person has to choose between consoling mourners and visiting the sick, Nichum Avelim Bikur Cholim, which console the mourners, assuming, of course, the ill person has sufficient care, being that there are two positive benefits to consoling the mourners or living the dead. So when I console the mourners, I help the living and I help the dead. And he says, well, visiting the sick only has one element, you know, consoling the mourners takes precedence. Anyway, I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but the basic idea he wants to say that by the telephone, you do help a little bit because it does bring mechazik the person, but it doesn't help the deceased. So you're only doing like half the mitzvah when you do it, you know, by telephone. Even the half that you're doing may not be quite as good. It's there's no comparison being in person with somebody, you know, when you know, being at a shiva, it's just sometimes just being there, like you went and you came. You know what I mean? Like that's half the shiva visit, that they saw you came. Let's say you live an hour away. You walk through the door. X thought so much that he came to me. That's like a chizuk for him. You know what I mean? Like when I was sitting shiva, I have a friend and he lives in Baltimore. He walked through the front door. and that alone was like a chizuk. So, you know, even before he said anything. So, all right, what did you want to say, Ruth?
Got it ready.
All right. Okay. So okay. So I'm gonna end the recording. Okay. So now.